Call the meeting to order. It's 9 o'clock. We have a quorum. Thank you all for coming. Because of the visit at Clarkson later this morning, our agenda is going to change drastically. So I may or may not know where I am. I'm elected official. The governor, that's right. So that's going to change things. On a sad note this morning, I don't know if I know some of you knew Walter Basmajian, who died last night. So Walter was instrumental in changing the political landscape of St. Lawrence County, at least, if not Northern New York, and heavily involved in the IDA, and a well-known figure in the country. It's too bad. We have some individuals that pleasure to introduce today. David Hartle, the UUU chapter president, and is replacing David Butler due to his retirement, which I was not aware of that. Elizabeth Erickson, presiding officer of the faculty, replacing Charles Finner. Welcome. Matt Metcalf is in the vacant chair. He is the assistant director of athletics, and Randy is not going to be here today due to a death in his family. I think it was his wife's grandmother. And Maureen Myakol.
Yes.
Got it right that time. The intern dean for School of Business and Liberal Arts. Welcome. We also have with us Tom Coakley, a member of the Canton College Foundation Board. Tom, probably known to most everyone in the room. For those that may not know Tom very well, Tom recently retired as Vice President of Finance at St. Lawrence University here in Canton. Thank you, Tom. Also, Chris Robbins from the Watertown Daily Times.
Hello, everyone.
Good morning. Good morning.
Have I missed anyone? So far, so good, isn't it, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's go to the minutes of the last meeting. You mailed a copy or emailed a copy, and I think you may have a copy in your packet. The chair will entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Roger, second. Second by Tim. Any corrections, additions, questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Approved. Thank you very much. All right. The College Council members were mailed a copy of a resolution that, and I think you have one in your packet. It's a reaffirm request to start a search for a president on our campus. I'll pass copies around to anyone that would care to see that resolution. The members of the College Council have been made aware of that resolution. Think it's necessary we should read it. I'll give a minute to everyone to get a copy.
Anyone need a copy? No? Okay, cool.
All right, since the members have received a copy prior, previously, and you have a copy now, the chair will entertain a motion for adoption of that resolution.
So
moved by Tom in a second.
Is there
any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thank you very much. That resolution, as noted toward the end of that resolution, will be mailed to most of our elected officials, obviously to the Chancellor of State University of New York, and to the Vice Chancellor, to the Chair of the Higher Ed Committee in both the Senate and the Senate, Senate and the Assembly, rather, and our local elected representatives. Thank you very much.
Stick a copy in your pocket in case you get to meet with the governor that much.
Right. Do that. Very good. Matt was scheduled to make his presentation because he also has to be somewhere a little bit later on.
Ron,
yes.
If it's okay with you, I can ask Matt to come back, given the time constraints we have today,
sure.
At our next meeting,
sure.
To give the presentation.
No problem.
If that's right. I apologize for that.
Fine.
Thank you.
It helps a lot. Okay. Let's move on to the President's Report, because I think that's important for us to be aware of several areas of concern on the campus, or at least to the College Council, and I'm sure to the campus as a whole.
Sure, thank you. This is basically a revised version of what I gave for a campus update last Friday to the campus community, and I haven't done so since we left in fall semester, in December. So I just wanted to give everyone on the campus an update from Albany and what we did there in the beginning of January. So the State of the University address from the Chancellor went over five expectations for the coming year, and really there were five challenges for all the state ops. And so the five things that she I can't run technology and talk, apparently I can't multitask. The five things are noted up at the screen. The first thing that she promised the state and the taxpayers that we would commit to is Open SUNY, which is an open resource consortium of, you know, classes and modules and so forth to create kind of an open resource network. How that's going to look and how that plays out and the impact for us here at the college, given that we are one of the leaders in online education, is not known yet. So the director of online learning and the provost and myself and I are working on trying to figure out what that really means for us. But that's something that we have right on the front of our radar. The other promise that was made by the chancellor at that time during her address was the three-year degree planning program. And that is that some of our four-year degree programs will be offered in a three-year length of time. And so we're not sure how the planning will go for that and which colleges will be picked to do, you know, in what series and in what sequence. But by 2015, we will be able to, as SUNY, be able to promise that for students coming into the system. Within the next 2 years as well, we will be asked that all of our students who graduate from a SUNY school have met a requirement for experiential education, which could be a capstone course, which could be service learning, which could be several different things. So given this umbrella that's pretty broad right now, we're pretty well situated for that given our degree programs. Most of them have capstones or culminating experiences. So I think we're okay with that promise that she made. The next promise that she said is that there's going to be an increase based on the governor's regional economic development zones in the state. There's going to be innovation hubs that will come into more of existence in regards to matching research with the economic development of the area. So we're not sure how we play into that. That's still something we need to be watching. And then also, by the end of 2014, we will be implementing a common data system. That means a common business intelligence tool for the whole system, which out of all five of these makes the most sense. And I think all of us are going, but to get there by 2014 is pretty aggressive. I think we've got 64 campuses with 64 different opinions, and so I'm not sure how we're all going to come into this and accept this without some heated discussion. So pretty ambitious agenda that she set out for us, and we're still waiting to kind of see how this plays out for Canton. Board of Trustees meeting with the SUNY board itself happened that afternoon following the address. Pretty standard strategic planning information happened at that time. She appointed some interim presidential positions at a community college and at Alfred State. And then what we were anticipating hearing was the appointment of an interim, or at least the announcement of an interim over at Potsdam, and that didn't happen. So We're not sure where that discussion is right now. What was also shared, and they're in your packets, if you're under, I won't bore you with details today, or at least I'll try not to. You've got two handouts, and they are on the SUNY report card. And SUNY's six big ideas, to evaluate their six big ideas, they're implementing kind of a scorecard, if you will. This scorecard shows as a system really the priorities that they're trying to push forward. So graduation rates, retention rates, research endeavors, and so forth. So this gives you an idea of what their priorities are and how they're evaluating their performance. And then the second packet, or part of your packet, is how we stack up against what they're trying to measure. And so from this, we will be taking this and pulling this apart with our institutional research office here. So just wanted to let you have this in front of you. So if you have questions or if you want anything addressed from here on out, please let me know. And some of the concerns I have that I expressed in December when that was first given to us is that this is very much a one-size-fits-all, and it doesn't work for us who are going from, you know, having associate degrees plus bachelor's degrees. It doesn't work for a lot of us in that kind of mix. And so I think it doesn't really reflect who we are as well as it could be. So that said, they're modifying it as we're hopefully seeing it in the new year in a different cast. But nonetheless, they haven't committed to where they're going to be using this for performance-based funding if they go there. So I'm not sure. I'm waiting to hear if that's going to be more in tune with that or in line with that. We don't have any confirmation on the 2020 grant applications that we submitted. Rumor has it that they have been decided. They just haven't been shared with us. There has been money committed for another third round of them for next year or for this coming year. But there hasn't been any detail on that.
Who is the body that reviews those 2020 grants? Is it a committee or?
It's supposed to be the governor's office. Oh. And I'm not sure who makes up the governor's committee. Uh-huh. So there is some involvement with state ed, I believe.
Right. SUNY makes a preliminary decision on it. I believe it's the construction fund that has a heavy hand before it goes to
the great. Yeah, I know. Whose desk is it sitting on? Yes, exactly. And then there is an RFP that's out right now from SUNY regarding high needs program development. And we have a couple irons in that fire right now. And February 15th is the deadline to submit those. And so we're looking at increasing our capacity with our engineering technology areas and trying to get different equipment and rethinking maybe some allied health. So just trying to get out in front of additional funding. So, sorry for the micro mini script up there. Just from a campus perspective, we've had quite a few changes going on, and I just wanted to keep you kind of up to speed. And so, I apologize for the small print. Our public relations director, Randy, had been working with both hats as athletic director as well as PR, and Ryan Duell has decided that he loves his PhD so much that he decided to come back from his academic leave to join us as a PR director. So he is helping us out in that capacity. The registrar's office, we have Memory Champagne, who has been in the registrar's office for at least 15 years, has stepped in as an interim. Pam Enzer, if you remember, left in the fall after her maternity leave. And that search is underway. We also have two new staff members in the office as well. Admissions office, Nicole Campbell, has taken an associate or assistant vice presidency position for admissions and retention in Washington, D.C., and she will be leaving us in 2 weeks. Mike Perry has agreed to help us out in that area in the interim and help us work on our numbers and so forth in admissions. Office of the Provost, we have Nicole Dunnan, who joined us back in the fall, but she has been working on high school outreach. So I just wanted to put that in front of you, that she's been working on those articulations and getting our college and the high school up and running. Transcript evaluator Pamela Vendesky has taken a position in Onondaga County, and so we have a temp hire who was also an adjunct faculty member for us, Tiffany Daly, and also an alumni. We have Chief of Police, Lisa Colbert has returned to the classroom, and we have John Kaplan, who we are sharing with SUNY Potsdam. Human Resources, Mary Dolan, as the director, is welcomed over the joint office, and we also have David Rourke, who is joining us as a Human Resources personnel. And Retention Specialist, that is a new position that was created last year. We hired to help Sharon Tavernay, who has not been able to clone herself. She is helping out with the Advising Drop-In Center, as well as orientation and other activities. And Marianne is familiar with our campus. She's taught biology for us for years. Student accounts, we welcome Travis Stocks. I think in a week he will be on staff. International Programs, Military Veterans Affairs. We finally get to have some support in that area staff-wise, and we are welcoming Heather Rookie from the Albany area. The Library Learning Commons, we welcomed Mike a few months ago, but he has hit the ground running, and I think he is as popular as Rudy is at all campus events. This gentleman is amazing and is everywhere you go, so I think he is more popular than Rudy. Graduate Resident Director, this is an initiative, and maybe Molly, do you want to just kind of explain what that is?
Actually, it's an initiative where we hire grad students that are enrolled in the Potsdam programs. In exchange for that, they get room and a stipend, but it's a reduction of the overall cost. So we gather significant savings. Potsdam gets enrollment in their grad program. You know, we're getting a professional staff, and the money we save from it, we're now going to put back into student affairs and get a position that we desperately need. So it's a real win-win situation.
And then searches underway. We have currently we have three dean searches that are in various stages, either off in being advertised or in the queue. We have an executive budget director that we are finishing up interviews this week. We have numerous faculty positions out, 19 in process, 10 of which are replacements, so 9 new faculty positions. And then we have Cher Rooney, who had the nerve to retire on us. And so we have a university. I know.
The nerve.
And she, I know, she wants to be under the radar. We're not letting her. But we have a Secretary 1 position in University of Police that we are searching for.
Can I just give a little FYI?
Yes.
Shout out. Pointing to the retention specialist, it's so important to have staffing in that area.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at our academic probation stats from last night, and in last fall, we had a 49% of students on probation that made it to the next semester. This past fall, we had 63%. So we went from 49 to 63, and that had a lot to do with the efforts of Sharon. So the fact that she's getting more support, it would be great to even see that get higher. That's fabulous.
I'm sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say, we have Sharon, we have Marianne, we've got what you'll hear about a little bit later about Gateway to Success, and we've also kind of dusted off our policies and, you know, made them more understandable for students and we're a little bit more clear. So I think it's a great synergy of a lot of things coming together.
63%.
That's insane. That's great numbers.
Before we move on, there are a lot of changes on that last screen.
Oh, do you want me to go back?
Could we? Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, please.
Sorry. And again, I'm sorry for the small font.
Any questions from the College Council members about any of those changes or concerns?
I'd be curious to know more about the Executive Budget Director position. What's it entail? Is it both campuses?
It's a shared position, and it's under Natalie, direct report to Natalie, and it will have a presence on both campuses.
How does this differ from the historical vice president for finance?
There's two things that we need to address on both campuses. One being the budget process that's campus driven, and one being the overall new resource allocation model that needs to be rolled out this coming year. Both campuses have one current budget person. They have been brought up through the ranks, but they're not high-level budgeting people. They're not. They're very good at the day-to-day, but they're not very good at the overall. They just don't have the background. They don't have an accounting background. They don't have a budgeting background. They've learned from bottom up.
Or tactical and strategic.
Yes. We need to be very strategic when we're coming into the new budget model across both campuses. The thought process behind the executive director of budget is to share this position. We are standardizing policies and procedures across both campuses. A standardized budgeting process, campus-driven budgeting process on both campuses to meet the needs of the new resource allocation.
I guess I have some concerns, a lot. I guess the one thing that strikes me there that I hadn't thought of before, the search for three deans, are those searches the turmoil caused by the chancellor on our campus, on a number of campuses, are they affecting those searches? Do you have any feeling that individuals may not be applying for those positions because of this unknown?
I don't know how many apps we've received for the engineering dean search.
We have 21 to 27 right now.
And that's the one that's been out the longest.
Would that be normal?
Oh, yeah. And the other two are either, I think one is in, one's posted just
Friday.
This week, I was going to say,
and
the other one is in the queue.
Another concern I have, the shared security position, John Kaplan, are we paying half salary, or is he paying, Hostin paying half, or who's paying that salary?
It is joint. It's 50. It is a joint position. It's being split 50-50.
50-50 from our campus?
Okay.
Because I'm concerned, the reason I'm concerned is that, for example, we've hired a new director or something with
environmental health and safety.
And we're sharing that salary between the two campuses. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
However, the human resource position that we're sharing with SUNY Potsdam is being paid for directly by our campus.
No.
That is not right?
Mary Dolan is split 50-50. She's a joint position, just like the others, yes.
That was not my understanding.
But that's the way it is. It's 50-50.
So is it, just maybe for clarification, is the whole HR department, so everyone who is HR, whether you're you come to work on the Potsdam campus or come to work on the Canton campus, everyone in that realm is 50-50.
We'll be into the new budget year, yeah.
Starting July 1st.
Yes.
Okay.
But right now, Mary Dolan is the split position.
How, as of yesterday, how much has this shared services saved our campus since within the last year?
Shared services isn't about saving money initially.
Oh,
it's
okay.
About creating the
It's about spending our money?
It's about creating standardized processes to create efficiencies, which will equate to savings. Right now, with the positions that we currently have shared, plus and minus, because mine is half salary, so it's a savings to the campus, we are currently paying about $65,000 off of this campus's budget for everything we have shared right now. But we are actually gaining a tremendous amount of efficiencies, which is going to equate into savings going into the next year. We've gone from a human resources and payroll department that was severely understaffed and behind tremendously in their processing to gaining an entire staff that's able to be duplicated. They can actually finally have an ability to cross-train across the campuses, and we are now back up to speed on human resources and payroll. Environmental health and safety, we desperately needed a program on this campus. We were not centralized with our EH&S stuff. We were not timely responding to the regulators on inspections. This is going to create a huge savings on this campus once the program is fully up and operational. John Kaplan, that was a decision that was made by the presidents to turn that towards a shared position.
Who made the decision? I'm sorry?
The presidents.
The presidents?
There was a decision, though, to qualify that. We were severely understaffed here on our campus with the university police. That said, we were having officers that were one officer deep on shifts in the middle of the night with our campus. So in doing this, the decision was made that we would share a position of like a chief if we had the proper scaffolding of support underneath that. We weren't going to just do this and give away a position. We're adding, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, three officers to make sure that we have the proper staffing, so we're not going to be vulnerable. Is that correct? And the timing of it? Okay.
So it was our interim president, Dr. Schwallow, made that decision.
We agreed to that.
The executive teams at both campuses agreed to a shared chief of police.
They weren't aware of any historical background that we tried that before with Tim Ashley, and it didn't work.
They were aware of it.
But now we have shared services. My concern is not so much sharing services. It's a great idea, and somewhere maybe it will save money. I haven't seen it yet. But my concern is that prior to your becoming joint CFO, this campus had close to $2 million surplus. How much do we have today?
And rollover surplus, we have over $7 million. We've added $1.4 million from fall. That was an addition.
Can you give us that, I mean, in writing somewhere?
Could we? What about if we make the suggestion of the next time we meet, can we do a
review of how the Sutra has built?
Maybe like a whole study session on the budget so we know where all the positions are, what's expended, what's the cash reserves, all of that, so everyone has it all on the same page. Would there be other elements of that you want? I mean, I'm thinking that you would want to see
anything that the college council would get is better than what we had before, because we've had that absolutely nothing. At some point, in probably the next meeting, the council will be called upon to approve our budget. Mm-hmm. And that may not happen unless we're satisfied.
So usually the budget is approved at the March meeting?
March,
or is it when we get, because I think it would be hard for us to look at the budget and do a study session
maybe,
and then vote right away.
Meeting.
Do we want to maybe?
I just want you to be aware of that.
No,
it's going to be a concern to the council.
And I think we should not just try to give a study session and then have you vote. I think we should give more time to it. So, well, that's my opinion. But
right, I think we need
if you'd like that, that's
a lot more information about the dollars and cents. The shared services, Barry, I've had it up to here on that. I'm more concerned about picking up the paper, all these shared services, and there's classified all the time, people being advertised for positions, and where we're saving money is beyond me with shared services.
Okay.
And I'm really concerned where that money's coming from, because I'm fully aware that SUNY Potsdam was not in good financial shape, and they were not in good shape as we are, or were. Right today, I have no idea where we are because it's a lack of information and we're not able to obtain. And I've gotten to the point almost, if I can't get the information, this is public record, this is taxpayers' dollars that we're talking about here, in tuition dollars. We have the right to know about the finances of these campuses. Everyone on the street, downtown Canton, has the right to know. And if we cannot, as far as I'm concerned, speak for myself, if I cannot get that information, I'm going to address a letter to the Attorney General and also the State Comptroller. And we'll see whether or not that information is, in fact, public, because it should be.
Couple of points of clarification. I definitely think a study session will help us get through that. I also think I've shared with you, Ron, what I understand the budget to be the past 2 years, our expense budgets. When the question in the article in December came out about the benchmarks and what we're doing that and our percentages, you and I talked about, you know, the different versions of what we've seen because of miscoding and so forth. And so we have some capturing of that budget look, but I don't think we have the whole picture, and we can do that in the next study session that we meet. One of the elements of trying to create that transparency and give folks, whether you're on the streets of Canton or whether you're here, whether you're a college council member, has been a consolidated financial report, if you want to share that as well.
This is a draft. The actual one is in print. I don't have the final printed copies, but the actual finalized copy is on our website.
Would you be able to send an email link to Michaela, and we can send out to the college council members?
It's on the assessment page.
Okay.
Carly, can I just make a comment?
Absolutely.
I mean, this is shared services aside. This is just speaking from supervising areas like IT and the library and the other support and service areas. We have struggled terribly over the last 5 years with understaffing. I mean, I have died on so many mountains advocating for staffing in some of these areas. And UP, it really was a safety concern with me. With the library, we had one of the most used spaces on campus that was understaffed. I have begged and advocated for staffing of these service areas. So I'm really happy now to see some balance because, I mean, now that Karen has IT in the library, do you see what I've struggled with in terms of awesome, great people that have done way above and beyond, but we just can't be one-stop shops anymore. We needed to have that balance. We were saving a lot. So
one of the things I've observed is that we had people wearing several different hats. By bringing in some shared positions, we've been able to have some people specialize. Because some of those things, like emergency management, Calvin, and some of that are specialized skills that we had generalists trying to do their best to fill it in. But the expertise that comes in with some of those positions, I find very reassuring because in terms of being on an emergency management team and knowing all the regulations about health and safety, that's just not a position, that's just not part of my experience. So to have someone there who has that, that's what I have really enjoyed about the shared positions, that we've brought in people with very solid experience and expertise that help us.
I think we should all look at the bigger picture and who shared services affects, which is the students as well as the college and staff and faculty. I think when we have shared positions, it comes along with subdivisions of positions, which gives more staff faculty on the campus for students. Although there's not a top person to make a decision when issues arise, but there are more people there. So for instance, Sharon and Marianne, they're next to the student government office. So although, well, that's not a shared position, but she has help. When Sharon was there by herself, it was difficult, and the line of students went out the door and into our office. But now that she has extra help, it's more work that can be broken down. I think with the position of Mr. Kaplan, it's easier because now we have more officers. So for instance, when I was an RA, if a fire alarm goes off in Grass River Suites and a fire alarm goes off in Heritage, it's difficult for one officer to get to both buildings. But now that there is extra help, those officers can cover those buildings, even though that's something that's minor, but it requires the fire department to come in. It requires all the students to evacuate. It requires to find out why the fire alarm went off. It could be smoking, it could be burnt popcorn, it could be anything. But that helps the students, and it's more of a reassurance that safety is on campus. Because even when you look at the blue lights, when the blue lights were out, students felt that they were unsafe. But I think with each position that's being shared, it comes with more. And the people that benefit from it are actually benefiting. Whether we're spending money or whether we're losing or gaining, I think we need to understand exactly what the students and the school itself is gaining. I mean, money's the root of all evil, but the students are here for a purpose. And if we can't provide those services to them, then how can we be a college? I think we should look at the bigger picture instead of...
Well, I think we should, too. And that's all... Your point, as far as I'm concerned, is well taken. But the bottom line is, someone has to pay for this. And down the road, if we get ourselves in deep water, do you think that the cancer is going to say, "Oh yeah, we'll help you, we'll bail you out"? Now that you're bankrupt and broke, I mean, it's a good idea. Someone has to pay for this.
It's understandable that someone's going to have to pay for it, but when you search for someone that fits the job, eventually the job will pay for itself. So when we're doing these shared services and these searches, we're not putting people in that are fresh out of college with a bachelor's degree. You're finding people that have the pedigree for the job. So eventually, right now, yeah, we have to put out a lot, but once that person does their job and it feeds back into the college. Because, for instance, as Molly said with the graduate resident director, you're actually cutting a cost to build another position, to find someone to fit that position that's going to be exceptional. So if you find that person that'll feed that department, that gives into the college. So if you continue that process on and on, the money that we put out eventually down the road will be made. I don't see us being bankrupt, and I don't see the chancellor at the moment wanting to let one of her 64 campuses be ill. We can't, she doesn't, you don't need an Achilles heel, why develop it? So if we are like that, you wouldn't, I doubt she would leave us like that. I mean, of course she'll give us the shovels to dig us out our own hole, but we won't be left that way. I think that's why we need to look at it more deep. I know it's kind of difficult to want to share a service or faculty or staff, however the case may be, but these are not people, these are people that are fitting the job that will give back to the campus, because you wouldn't want to put someone with low experience. I mean, John Kaplan has a lot of experience, right. And he's good with students.
Of course he does.
So, I mean, that will feed that in.
We've shared service before, security, it didn't work. But, again, and I agree with you, but when the day comes when the paycheck doesn't show up, then those people will be concerned when we start layoffs. No matter how well and good and intention all this shared service is.
That's understandable, but when someone takes a job, they don't just accept it because of the title. They accept it because of what it entails. So if you decided to take a shared job and you didn't understand what it required, then that's your fault. Would you just take a job?
I agree with you on that, but I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about the money, the cost. If we don't have the money, it doesn't matter how good everything is.
I mean, if we don't have the money, then we shouldn't be hiring people.
So do we have the money? That's the question.
Yeah,
there's been a cloak of secrecy on this campus for the last year as far as money is concerned.
Well, I mean, just, you know, for managing the revenue in winter term and summer session, we are a revenue-generating campus that is very unlike other institutions. And I think, I don't know how many years we've been doing it, maybe 6 or 7, but it's been that significant revenue every year from off-term that probably has been what's made us a lot more healthy than other campuses.
But aren't you concerned about the chance of wanting us to limit our enrollment? I mean, those
that's
are concerns.
We have to be strategic.
If, you know, we're spending more money from our campus. This is the way I see it. We're spending more of our money from this campus for shared services than SUNY Potsdam is. And we're going to be limited in our enrollment. That's going to be less dollars coming. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist. I just thought of that senator from Mississippi that they were rocket. What did he say? But anyway, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if our revenues start going down and our expenses are going up, I mean,
well, then I would advocate that we be more creative with our revenue, because there hasn't been clarity on if enrollment caps affect winter and summer. Mm-hmm. So to me, we need to be focused and creative and be looking at how to grow those areas that maybe we can retain.
Do we have any projections as to how that would affect our campus?
We have no direction from SUNY at all on the enrollment piece of the budget model yet.
The only thing that we have seen is that they have, when they ran the numbers a month and a half ago, we came out looking pretty good. One of two campuses that wasn't going to lose any revenue that year or the next year. Other than that, we have no other additional clarity.
Are you aware of, was it Delhi and Colesfield now that it's come out that forget about shared services down there? What happened there?
Morrisville and IT.
What
I understand to have happened is in December, I believe December 3rd and 4th, at that Board of Trustees meeting, Bill Morbido, who has been an interim president in the SUNY system before, whenever there's a presidential vacancy, he's served 4 or 5 different terms. He was named as the interim for shared services. He was named the interim for the presidency at Morrisville. And so with the caveat that they would wait until the fall to make a determination if they get to search for their own president. three or four weeks after that, the early part of this January, they had on their campus received a letter from Bill Morbido that said something to the effect, I'm paraphrasing, that they are ending shared services with SUNY IT. They are not any longer working in conjunction with shared positions or shared services with SUNY IT. There has been no response from SUNY on that. There hasn't been any response in the paper that I can find. And so I spoke with the president at SUNY IT. I just happened to be at a conference the following week when that was issued, and he didn't have any awareness of it until it was sent to him by somebody else. So he wasn't consulted either. So we don't know what this means.
So it makes one wonder, you know, down a year from now, after our surplus is gone, they could say the same thing to Potsdam and Canton. Oh, forget about shared services now that your money is spent.
I guess that's a question I would recommend having that conversation with SUNY. I haven't seen anything come from them in regards to the comment and what that means for us.
SUNY Central, that's the trickle-down effect. It's trickled down to our campus now, where we can't even get information on our own campus, let alone from SUNY Central. I'm sorry to take up so much time. Any questions?
The special meeting that you, or can we have a special meeting where we could have a budget session in advance?
We could do a study. I was suggesting a study session before the next meeting where we just took an hour and just really went over it page by page. If there's another method that you want to go forward and do, I'm open to whatever.
We can make it available electronically
ahead of time so you could study it before that as well. I mean, it's whatever you would like.
Well, I think what we'd like to see is some figures showing about these shared services, actual dollar amounts, and these positions, each say security. Okay, so we're sharing chief of security, so we're saving half that salary, John's salary, I assume, because Poston is paying half. But we've hired three more people, security out. Well,
we
may need them. I'm not saying that we don't. But how much is that costing us, those three additional positions? So this office, what would you call that office? Security?
University.
So after all these changes, this is the net result right here. It's either going to be black or red.
Okay. What about this? How about if we go through and we'll try to get a three-year look back. So we'll do that for 2010, 11, 11, 12, 12, and 13.
The last year.
But if you want to see kind of a perspective of change, I can show you that. Also, I think it would be good for us, besides the shared services breakdown, to look at the chargebacks for the shared positions.
That's another concern. I don't know about the
chargebacks. I think that's something that we can get out in front of as well. So I'll work with my team to get that in front of you.
I mean, I may not be speaking on behalf of the entire council, but I don't think the council is satisfied with the information that we're receiving as far as the cost.
If there is any other way that I can get information to you at any time, please let me know. I try to keep Ron up to date as my schedule and his schedule allow.
But if
there's other things that I'm not doing, please let me know in regards to avenues of information. I'm happy to help give you what you need or meet with you,
that,
whatever.
And please take this. But I'm not altogether sure that you're receiving correct information. I'm sorry, but I believe that.
Well, if it's okay with you, let's do a review of the shared services breakdown of the positions and the departments, chargebacks for shared positions, status quo of what the budget has been for the past 3 years and where it is now. Are there other elements you think that would be helpful?
You know, I think one of the things that's come up in this discussion that was interesting certainly for me, and I won't speak for others either, but that we may have been lacking in certain areas with personnel. I don't think that's a discussion that's ever taken place at this table. If it has, I've missed it, and I apologize for that. But I think that also, from a historic perspective, will help us to understand why there's suddenly a need for all of these positions that previously I was of the impression that we were running very smoothly. So I really do think you need to show us some of that and where those shortfalls have been. It puts us in a better position to be more objective in regard to these additional staffing needs. So I would, for myself, I would certainly like to see some of that.
Yeah, I'd like to see just the determination of needs, why these are needed, and the benefits, and how it's being paid for, and long-term, how are we going to grow from all of this and stay financially sound, you know, so that definitely agree.
Yeah, I think that unfortunately there is that issue with limited resources, and at some point, even though we still feel the need for additional staffing, in some areas, we might have to struggle a little longer until we can find a justification to support and pay for those positions. Again, I think it's not so much to have a debate about whether or not we should be hiring as it is to better understand why we are.
Sure. I think one of the... go ahead.
I think, you know, we have been a culture of goodwill. I mean, I work with some really incredible people, and we all have been wearing two or three hats, and it's just not in us to complain.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I have put forth many staffing requests for UP, and, you know, there's different priorities with different leaderships, and that was a real significant challenge for me because I was seeing the safety concerns with students. I go to the residence halls at 2 in the morning after dance got out, and there would be 300 kids there with one officer. That's an experience I would bring back and advocate for, but it was an experience shared, so it was harder to get that when I bumped up against another position. But I think people have just been goodwill and troopers, and we didn't complain, but it's been...
And anytime you do that, and certainly that's not a surprise either, because I think we have been aware that there are, you know, the many hats that many of you wear to do the jobs that you do and do very well. But again, I think we need some additional information, I think, at least I do, to better digest some of this.
I think one of the things, and Tom, you might recall this from reading the self-study, and Karen can speak to this as well. When we did the self-study analysis about part-time and full-time ratio of faculty, it was exorbitant about, you know, how we have maintained 102 full-time faculty from when we had 2,100 students to now with 3,800 students. And we went from, what was it, two or three adjuncts
to
100.
To
so mm-hmm. with the same, so it's just, those are some areas that we really need to try to whittle away from as well.
And that
because
helps our benchmarks too, because as we move money from temp services to full-time faculty lines, that increases the percentages towards direct instruction. Mm-hmm. And it also increases the services to students because as wonderful as some adjuncts are, they are not here day in and day out. They're not in their offices. They're not serving as advice. Mm-hmm. They're not doing the advising. They're not writing grants. We desperately need
how many full-time academic positions have we hired in the last 6 months?
Full-time adjuncts?
No.
Full-time faculty in the last
6 months.
Gosh, our hire, that's out of our hiring.
That's our we usually hire like
spring
in the summer,
right,
the fall in the fall. Off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you what we hired last spring.
Give me a guesstimate.
Oh, I would say it's like 15, 12 to 15 positions.
Campus.
How many we filled?
I was the provost last spring, so I'm going to go with what Carly says.
I think it was about 12. I think
we
searched for 15.
How many new non-faculty positions have we hired in that period of time?
I don't know.
I bet you more than the academic, right? So that's now helping meet our benchmark that the Chancellor wants us to do to spend money in academics, as far as I'm concerned. It's another simple...
I think if
we could get that also.
Absolutely. I'm happy to provide that.
And being a big advocate for support services, you can't hire faculty anymore without the support. They need the help desk. They need this. It's not hiring a faculty member anymore. You can't increase by 20 and not increase the support of them.
So we hire the support before we hire the faculty?
No, I'm saying you can't just focus on just hiring a faculty. What faculty need to support their instruction now is part of the picture, where it really wasn't that way years before. We didn't have all the technology. And
how much of that support staff goes toward the spending as far as academic is concerned? 50% of their salary? Is that
an academic expense?
Yeah.
When I gave you those sheets from 2010 to 11, 11, 12, those have that broken down in there. We can go through that as well, and I'll include that in your packets.
The 19 new faculty that you're searching for, are they all full-time?
Yes.
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 And do we have the money to pay for that?
Yes. 10 of which are replacement funds. Some of them are retirements of people who are making upwards of 80 to 85,000. So we can basically, you know, you could search almost for two positions.
Oh, so the 19 is not 19 new, it's 19.
It's 19 faculty searches, 10 of which are replacements.
We're only hiring 9 new.
9 new.
That's different.
And I thought I had articulated that. I'm sorry if I didn't. Okay.
I probably missed it.
And there's obviously then some savings, as you just describe, because you're bringing them in at a more, not necessarily entry level, but certainly
mm-hmm.
a lower level than the those going out, which,
yeah,
is,
happy
which
from
is always the way
right.
we want to do it, I suppose.
Right.
I
mean, so
that's,
really,
that's
hiring,
the incentive.
We're really hiring 9 new positions as a result of 10 retirement. We're not actually spending any additional dollar amount on academics.
No,
right. No.
No. 10 retired,
right.
replacing those
right.
10 plus 9 new.
So we actually aren't spending any more money in academics.
Yes, we
are.
The 9 new.
But we're saving for the other ones that retired.
It would depend on their, I mean, there's a couple at the 80,000. Not everyone's blessed to have 80,000 as a paycheck. But the ones that are retiring or who have resigned or moving on, they're at a higher salary on the average than anyone else that we're advertising for. So there will be initial savings.
But you could certainly argue that of the 9 new positions, you may be able to recoup from those savings enough to cover 3, 4, maybe. Maybe that's a high number, but still. Now
we
you're
could look at that
again,
breakdown.
Those new hire numbers from 9 to something less than that, and we can better understand that when we see what the real dollars are.
I guess the point I'm trying to make is that search for 19 new faculty. I mean, we really aren't increasing our spending total in academics. We're spending about the same amount of money because we have extra money because people are earning $80,000 a year retiring and we're hiring someone at 40.
We could break that down to for you as well. I mean, for the ones that have moved on. I mean, I don't mind doing that. But I don't know what we're going to get new folks to hire in at. I mean, we could negotiate 48, we could negotiate 55. I don't know where that's going
to... Run the benchmarks, the chance they want us to meet with that spending, which changes daily with her, is how, the amount of money we're spending on academics. And
I mean,
the way I look at it, we really aren't spending very much more than we were before. We're allowed new positions because, like I said, we're hiring people at 40 rather than paying them 80.
But there's also the clarity, and I think you hit the nail on the head, just depending on what you read. Is it instruction only, or is it instructional support? And the instructional support encapsulates direct instruction.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the different Board of Trustees memorandums and the resolution evolution, if you will, the number itself, the percentage itself, is either right out of instruction or the whole gamut. And so it depends on which resolution variance you're looking at. And when we reported in our July 15th report, we were at 64% with our overall instructional support for our budget, and we met and exceeded the benchmark from that 52%. What was the clarification that came in December of 2012 was that instruction line, that's part of that whole package, was at 40%, and it wasn't the 64%. That was the whole picture, which was 64.
I thought we were up like 47%.
Not that I believe it was 40.
The benchmarks, the original benchmarks that the chancellor wanted us to meet, we met. And then 2 or 3 weeks later, that changed, the benchmark changed, because I think we met it.
So I think the other thing that from that article in December that it was alluded to in that article was that there are other benchmarks that were in her request of us besides the budget piece there and moving the academic percentages around or instructional support, whatever you want to call it. There was also the integration of the cabinet And there was also integration of shared services and departments. So I think that was what was alluded to in that December 14th article.
Well, I'll just say one more thing, and I'll call it quits.
Okay.
The way I'm looking at that, we are not ultimately spending more money in academics. We're spending more money in support, which may or may not some of that be attributed toward that academic benchmark. But we're having all these other positions, and we're being placed in a position where it's going to be impossible for us to meet whatever the benchmark may be this morning or at 11 o'clock, depending. So that's my concern. We just aren't, I mean, all this gobbledygook, I can drop a financial statement tomorrow morning. Probably the guy there from that's in jail right now, he was drawing up financial statements. What's the guy, Bernie?
Madoff.
So he was drawing financial statements out, and it didn't mean a thing. So don't believe everything that's in print.
I think this is our first attempt at this, and this is also an attempt to try to get at some transparency for the campus, but also for Middle States, and trying to align that with an annual evaluation process of our strategic plan. So it's a first step.
And we've never had it before, so this to me is a big step.
But I also think it's a work in progress. So if you look at it when we send you the link, please let us know if there's other directions you want us to take with it, or if areas of confusion are there. I'd love to hear that. Okay.
Sorry for the interruption.
That's quite okay. I'll make the next slide really much smaller with the font.
You know, all I think about is like Will Rogers used to say, all I know is what I read in the paper. So.
Ron, I try to harass you daily. Just campus updates, Cook Hall Phase 2, we are starting that process any day now. Bids have been in, they've been accepted, and so we'll start the renovation of the last part of Cook Hall renovation. So if you haven't been down to the two-thirds that have been renovated, the Early Childhood Learning Center is amazing. So if you get a chance to go down there or see the new chemistry facilities, it's tremendous. So we're very excited that this next phase will bring on additional classroom space, which is desperately needed on our campus. So we're looking forward to that. Budget process, as Natalie alluded to, we will get that underway shortly. The academic work week, we are wrestling with this right now. We have a 4.5, in all intents and purposes, we have a 4.5 academic work week, where we before had a 4-day. So our schedule is so tight right now, and our classroom space is so limited that we've kind of leaked into Friday. And so we are about 98% sure that we're going to go back to 5-day, because we just can't do this in support of 3,800 students. So we just don't have the space. I mean, we're blessed to have this problem. We don't have the space, and we don't have the turnaround time with the students as well. So the students are having expressing difficulty in getting time to do their homework and get it back in a reasonable fashion. The other thing that we noted in our student opinion survey is that students are not being able to find their advisors or their faculty members as easily as they could in years past because of, I think, this back-to-back teaching schedule. And so we're hoping that the 5-day will allow for us to have more accessibility for our students.
Will that meet with any concern or resistance from the staff?
We've met with all of the unions and the union reps. The concerns that we have heard from, different constituents as well, the students prefer the 4-day. From what we, when I talk to student leadership, they prefer the 4-day. But I think in different pockets, we've also had the conversation, they understand that this is an effort to try to get at, helping the pedagogy and moving that dialogue forward. But there's only been two faculty members that have approached me in regards to this. And it's really about making sure that we're not only going to understand the 5-day and moving that forward, what that means, because a lot of them liked having that Friday to do other things, so that we want to make sure that we're respectful of time for faculty governance to meet during the week. So we want to make sure that that's available, but also that we are all in alignment with student service. I don't know how to do this with my hands, with student affairs, because we want to make sure that the buses that leave to go to New York City or to go to Buffalo or to Syracuse don't leave on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. That we're making sure that we're respectful of all classes, and so we want to make sure that these dialogues happen in tandem with student affairs.
And not to belabor, but contractual obligations, are there any?
No.
Okay.
Is that, if there's something that's not there that I'm not aware of, I would love to know, but I met with all of the different unions and there wasn't an issue, per se. And so we're also in discussion with trying to get our calendar not to be something that we create every 6 months, but we're trying to get out in front of it that we create a year to 2 year experience, and so we can have people plan and so forth accordingly. We're looking also and trying to be good neighbors with the other universities, so our graduations don't all happen on one Saturday, and you know, things like that. So we're working towards that end goal. And then the Strategic Enrollment Task Force, we're trying to get out in front of the budget resource allocation model and what that means for us, even though it's still kind of not defined. But we're trying to own that and figure out what that means. So we're trying to investigate that. Matt Metcalf is here for an NCAA update. And I think for the gift of time, Maureen, you've been a doll to sit here with us all morning, but because the governor has trumped us, would you mind if I invited Maureen back to give us an update at a different time so we don't rush through that? I think it's an excellent program that she's doing. Thank you. So
if you don't mind.
I'm sorry to.
No problem.
If that's okay with you. Okay. And then I'd like to turn it over to quick division updates. Karen?
I'm just going to highlight. You can see when I ask for updates, I got pages.
So
we have people very interested in sharing with the group. I'm going to highlight a few things. The engineering school, Phoenix School, they are working heavily on the high needs proposals. They have a big need for some equipment. They're working on that. They also are very proud of some students that are working on some development projects, artificial hand components, and building a large 3D printer that we're going to take to Sunny Day and show off. They're working on getting ABET accreditation for their four-year programs. School of Business and Liberal Arts, from the winter term and summer term accounts, we have been able to allocate money to each of the schools to in turn use for faculty development and professional development for faculty and conference attendees. Maureen has built into her school, rather than her controlling the money as dean, she has put a great portion of the money in the hands of a faculty-led committee that the faculty has since do little mini proposals, and they allocate the money themselves. So that was nice to see in that school. The English department has hired a new professor last year, Phil LaMarche, and he has built a wonderful writing series, living writing series, mm-hmm. that matches up to one of his courses. It's one of the most, I have seen him film mm-hmm. Kingston Theater, mm-hmm. where he brings in a writer and mm-hmm. it's full.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's great.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the great things I've seen this year.
There's one
coming up. Is this coming Friday? Next Wednesday. The volunteer tax assistance program is up and running again, where they are accounting students, mostly our accounting students. They've been through courses and they work through the IRS as in doing tax returns for low income and senior citizens. School of Health and Science, the Funeral Service Administration program has been accredited. Sports Management program has grown from 12 students in 2010 in the fall to 78 students this fall. Our Nursing BS program has an increase in 100% from last year and 280% from the year before. So we have some programs really taking off in that school. Our PTA program has welcomed some Sri Lanka students that were actually physically here on campus. And Ken wanted me to tell you he still has hair left.
Although it's been on fire.
We have some of these other areas, the accommodative services. This is the office that handles any student that's legally entitled to accommodations.
Last fall, they worked across 77 students. They administered 1,172 exams. She has some breaking news that needs to be on the forefront. The U.S. Department of Education in Washington stated that schools must include students with disabilities in sports programs or provide alternative options. While the directive was mostly leveled at elementary and high schools, they haven't ruled colleges out, so that's something that's on the horizon that we need to be watching. Admissions reports that they are current applicants, they're not matching last year's record, but they're comparable to 2 years ago. They're looking at how to increase the yield from the applicant pool. They have also become a member of Venture Scholar, which is an organization that provides information of students specifically interested in STEM fields. So they're trying to get at targeting more STEM students, and Mike Perry is step up and help us get through a period. Carly talked a little bit about our advising center and the change, and we have a new staffing. They had 905 student contacts last semester, so they're heavily used. Career Services reports that they are now an ASC Auto Mechanic Certificate Testing Center. They are doing programming for not just classes, but also they've done programming for men's soccer. They are reaching out to high schools in Fort Drum. EOP is reporting great success with some tutoring events. 93% of the EOP students that receive tutoring pass their courses, compared to 84% the year before and 71% the year before that. They have run some group tutoring in chemistry and biology, and they report great success with that. When they did the chemistry, only one student failed and 6 earned A's out of the 7 that were being tutored. So that's international programs. They had their, I think Ryan reported that they had their 2 first-time faculty-led study abroad programs last summer, one in China and one in Balkans, Croatia. They have increased student population of international students by 10%, and again, Sri Lanka students. Continuing with a dual degree with Kazan Federal University, and they've signed an agreement with Greenwich University in the fall to expand study abroad programs for SUNY Canton students and other SUNY schools. Winter session 2012, we offered 104 classes with an enrollment of 1,195 students. 125 other institutions were represented, so that a lot of the students that take our winter term classes are not typically our students. We're reaching out to some other things. There's some pretty prestigious, Clarkson, RIT, St. Lawrence, Wagner, George Washington, Rutgers, Cornell. Students are taking our courses. Open SUNY is on the forefront of our online learning center. It either could be a fantastic opportunity for us to expand in that area, or it could present us with some challenges. We just don't have the details from SUNY to know, but we're carefully monitoring that. And our registrar's office, I am happy to report, is almost fully staffed. We had a retirement,
a pregnancy,
a second pregnancy. So we've gone through some transitions, but we have an interim registrar, we have our assistant registrar back, we full staff the front desk, we have Barb Porter, our retired registrar from a few years ago, has been coming in part-time to help us out. And we're running a search for a new registrar, so we hope.
And no one's allowed to drink the water up there.
Yeah. Yeah, we're trying. But that, if you can imagine going from
a staff of 3.
A staff of 3 to back up to about 6. We think we've got their mental health stabilized. And
thank you, Karen.
Okay. Karen, has the director of admissions position been advertised yet?
Not yet. But, that just recently was announced that she was leaving about a week or so ago.
How will that work? Do you approve that?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be an advertised position
mm-hmm.
for our campus?
We're going to need to figure out what, in regards to what it's going to say, because we want to focus it on a STEM, obviously, push and so forth, and the experience we want. But
for our campus mm-hmm. only?
As far as I know, yes.
You anticipate that would be advertised in shortly?
I don't know the timeline. I mean,
I think we have asked Mike for about a 6-month commitment, because it does take time to generate the paperwork,
mm-hmm.
Get our approvals through, get advertised, and we want to do a, I mean, my intention is to do a full national search,
mm-hmm.
and that we can't do that in 2 weeks. So
until what?
We can't do a full national search and bring you back a director in 2 weeks. It takes.
Oh no! I understand that, but when would you guess that you have the authorization to start the search, to advertise that position? That would take like a day.
No, we have to go through SUNY to make sure that we can hire.
Okay.
We can only hire
if we get permission.
CSCA.
So has that request gone into the chancellor to?
I don't think we've submitted that paperwork yet.
No, I have another paperwork yet.
When would that be going?
Week or so. I mean, I guess we can get it through a campus process.
Or is it a case that we're waiting to be told we can do it?
No,
we have to give the paperwork so we can get the green light.
I mean, the admission staff was giving me some rationale, some qualifications. I mean, there's a group of 10, 12 people up there that I think should have input into what we...
Is there any feeling that would be a shared position with SUNY Boston?
That's not my intention.
I think there's always going to be that conversation.
Yeah.
I think they're going to ask us to do that probably before they give us permission.
You said career services is now certification
for an automotive.
Automotive, oh, okay.
They are running some testing with some certification in automotive field.
In the automotive.
An ASC. So.
ASC.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in that position, admissions, Mike helping out. Mike is not an employee of the college.
He will be on a temporary basis for this, yes.
And so we're paying him a salary equivalent to the director?
We're going
to... I don't care about the dollar amount, but, you know...
He's not going to recognize an interruption in his paycheck. Natalie, did you want to report out, or do you think everything was covered?
Everything was covered.
All right. Okay. Dave?
Much shorter report than normal. Two things I want to report on. Gears switched so fast, I lost my train of thought.
We can come back.
No, I'm ready. I wanted to. I was going to read this letter, but I decided I would just share with the council. My wife and I established an endowment for nursing students. And we pledged over a 5-year period to reach the minimum required endowment level of $10,000. And we had our second scholarship recipient this year. And, the Gerlach Family Endowment pays out about $600 a year. So it's a percentage of the total in the endowment. And this young woman, who is a returning student, she graduated in our nursing program and is completing her baccalaureate degree. 2 weeks ago, wrote my wife and I a letter of thanks, and it was as if she thanked us for a $6,000 gift off the endowment. And so I was in Florida visiting alumni when my wife read me the letter, and I literally teared up. And so I share that with the council to say, now more than ever, the foundation needs your support. Now more than ever, do our students deserve the additional support and help in helping them afford college education. And so whether it is through the tear that came to my eye that I can maybe get to your eye, or your compassion or your belief in what we do here at the college, please look for opportunities to support our students. And so thank you. The second thing I wanted to update, the council, and I don't remember what meeting it was, I want to say it was in November, approved a resolution for the new residence hall that an affiliate of the foundation will seek, borrow, and build this hall. We're moving forward. We've received, obviously, initial approval from SUNY for the same type of resolution that you passed endorsing this. The college has the highest number of triples in all of SUNY, and so this hall will supplant, hopefully, those triples as we move forward. We are struggling getting to meet the financial requirements that the bonds will require. We think we'll get there, and why we're struggling is students desire single rooms with their own bathroom, and this hall ostensibly is that. However, we're going to have to flex those numbers a little bit, and so hopefully this week we'll get there. We've hired, engaged the services of the same underwriter that led us in the last process as we let those bonds, and so probably by your next council meeting, if we are not soon to close on financing or bids out for general contractors, we're going to struggle having that hall built by 2014. So just a brief update. I won't take up your time now, but I will stay after. I have plans of where we're going to have the hall, the general conceptual design, and I'll, once we lock that down, I'll pass to Michaela to have it distributed to the council. We're not quite there yet, though. It'll be a 5.5-story building across from French Hall, adjacent to the parking lot that's across from French Hall, and it will have a dining facility in there.
I'll be quick. We have a new addition to student affairs, and it's the CARC, which is the Convocation Athletic Facility, and it also includes the fitness center. And that is absolutely wonderful because athletics is in the CARC. Now I can get them both on the same page. And this is all I have to say is whenever I have a new area, I have to really, really understand it. So I join the fitness center, and I'm going to be there all the time. God help them. But I think it's going to be so nice for student activities and the rest of the campus because they have been separated by their location and now being pulled into student affairs and having the director of the CARC meet with the other directors under our umbrella. It's just going to improve communication, the use of that building. The students will benefit from that communication. So I'm really excited about that, and that's going well, although I feel I'm a real pain in the butt over there because I'm always over there. A couple other things we have in health services. We've had both Potsdam and Canton work on the shared student health contract, which is a big deal because if we can work together and have an RFP, which we did, it's going to save the students money and they're going to have better care with that mutual contract. And with the Dean of Students that does advocacy programming and student discipline, we have our mutual hazing prevention program this April. We're going to have civility programming and do a mutual community service event, and we also are planning a Title IX in the classroom because that's a new federal regulation related to sexual harassment, and the faculty on both campuses have not been brought into what that is going to mean to them. So this is an opportunity for us to really fully program that and help out the faculty and the students. So those are some of the things we're working on.
Thank you.
Nafisa?
Oh, great. So, I got some paper for you guys. Take one and pass it, Mr. Grove.
Did I need one? I'm sorry. I thought it was for the council.
The Student Government Exec Board has only been back for about, a couple weeks as a whole. Two of our exec members are on internships for the college, so they move around per department bi-weekly, so we don't really get to see them unless it's at night. And one of our officers was out due to illness, but he has fully recovered, and he is back. So, whoop-whoop, got my vice president back. So, the first thing is the utilization of our office. Before student government, we didn't have an office. We were just student leaders that kind of floated within the student activities department, and sometimes if we had office hours, we would just hover over Brenda, and that was pretty much what we did. But now we have a central port, kind of like a command station, where you can come to our office and find one of the officers. We do have posted office hours. This is a good thing because a lot of times students have questions that they don't really want to ask someone who works in the student activities office, so they ask us. And a lot of times with clubs or organizations, they can't find the proper answer that they need, and most of the time the people with the knowledge are us, so it's difficult for the students to find these answers. And during open house or opening weekend, friends and family weekend, things like that, parents are able to come and speak to us in regards to organizations that their children may want to join. And it's kind of like a focal place. So we're next door to the advising center. We're also, I don't know how to explain it. We're kind of like a conference room for clubs and organizations that have problems but don't want to like deal with it on their own. So we kind of mediate to dual positions. So that's one thing. The second thing is student involvement. A lot of our clubs and organizations have been doing fundraisers for their clubs. Right now in the campus center, our gaming club, they're doing a bake sale to fundraise at the top of the campus center when you enter through the Roselle Plaza. Our Veterans Association, they're selling t-shirts and coins. The coin is like, it's kind of like this big, and it has the SUNY Canton kangaroo head. It's white with the brown kangaroo head, and on the back of the coin it says the Veterans Association. And they're doing it just to raise money for their club, and also to give back to a veterans foundation, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, so a lot of fundraising has been going on, and the reason why I put it under student involvement is because a lot of the students, both commuter and residential, are now utilizing the campus center more, and due to the fundraising, a lot of clubs and organizations are gaining membership. So the one thing that was difficult for, well, as student government president, was getting students to join clubs, because a lot of times students don't really know that we have certain clubs. So for instance, we now have a bass fishing club, and no one knew about it until they fundraised for fishing poles. So, I didn't know that either.
We need a study session on that. That sounds
fun. students didn't know about that, and there are a lot of students here that like to fish. So we have a bass fishing club. And we also have a lot of sporting clubs for students who don't want to join the teams, but they can join the club to play the sport. So that's something for student involvement. Activities program, Amari Russell, he is the College Activities Board president, but he wanted me to tell you guys this. Winterfest is on Thursday. If you have a date, it's $10. You can come to the dinner and the formal dance. But if you just want to come to the dinner, it's $5. So he would like for me to extend this invitation to the council in case you guys want to come. So that will be on Thursday in the Woodcock Conference Suite in the Miller Campus Center. So I just want to let you guys know that. And also, programming from the College Activities Board standpoint has grown tremendously. They're looking towards next semester. Normally what happens is that programming happens per semester. So January and February may be planned, but there's still March and April. But right now they're looking towards planning for opening weekend, Friends, Fall Fest, and things of that nature, which will be in the fall semester. So the programming has moved from something that's very just students arguing over if they're going to have a bingo to now students want to plan major events. So that's what's happening in that section. Graduation. So I'm graduating. I invite you all to my graduation. Not only because you have to be there, but because I'm graduating. So just make sure you mark your calendars. It's on Saturday. But a lot of our student leaders are graduating. So what we have done as a student government is we've done the graduation initiative. And what it is basically, it's really all words, but it's become a competition. We want to push students to get into the library and do their work and get students to graduate. A lot of students are graduating with certificates or associates and some even bachelor's degrees. But what we found is, and myself too, a lot of students bury their heads in their extracurricular activities and not in their academics. So what we've done as student government is kind of, it's a competition, but to them, we're really just encouraging them. But it has become a competition. So clubs and organizations have moved a lot of their meetings to the library. So what they do is, in the library, they talk about what they need to do within their club, but they're also doing their work. So we have like a, I don't know why, but it's like a sign-in sheet, but really you have to sign in the student government office, but we really don't pay attention. We're just really encouraging them. So they sign in the amount of hours that they've done, and at the end of the semester, whatever club has done the most gets like $25 in their account. And $25 seems like a little bit, but when you're a club organization and you need money in your account, that $25 is like $25,000. So that's what we've done just to push students to get their academics done first before clubs and organizations. So joint leadership objectives. I'm going to skip the first one and then go to the second one. We had a Superstorm Sandy Relief Dance Party, and we raised $1,291. And the presentation of the check will be with myself and a representative from the SUNY Potsdam student government. But the woman, Olga Grant, from the Red Cross, she just needs to tell us her availability, and we're going to present the check. We worked together via email, the two student governments, to produce this dance. And it was the beginning of the semester, and it was pretty cool. A lot of students came, but they left pretty early because I honestly think that they were tired. Because it was the first weekend, so a lot of the students were returners, so they probably just moved into their dorms. Yeah, of course they behaved. Yeah, Molly.
That's what I always ask.
And back to the first part, working with SUNY Potsdam for student-driven initiatives, what we're trying to do as the student government is to work on a student level, of course, to work together to program. So SUNY Potsdam and our SUNY Canton student government are trying to work together to produce either a lecture series or some sort of small community service events to get both of our student communities out. We've done talent shows before, but it's only got a certain amount of students, but we're trying to go as a whole, so all of their students and all of our students. So that's what we're working to. We have a meeting coming soon, I believe the last week of February, where the two student governments will come together and try to work together. And lastly, student participation. The Four College Leadership Conference is a conference with all four colleges, and it'll be hosted at Clarkson. It's actually on Saturday. And what it is, it's for networking for all four colleges, so students come together and we speak on various different topics. So there are roundtables which are led by students. The one that I'm doing is diversity and public speaking. And then two of our other student leaders are doing Greek council and activities programming. And there are other roundtables that are community service, student programming, student organizations, like just things that students do, academics and things of that nature. And each school has to bring 30 students. We have 40. So other schools have 30 as well, and we come together on Saturday all day from 12 p.m. to 10 p.m., and we conference all day. So that's something that our students are participating in, and it's not the same students. A lot of times the same student leaders that do the same thing, but this time it's students from across the campus, and some of them are non-traditional students, some of them are residential students, some of them are commuting students. So it's good that the participation has gone from just residential to now all the mm-hmm. students, because that's the balance that we've never had. And non-traditional students are starting to get more involved, and we've done programming that focused more on non-traditional students because they do have families. So we did Stuff a Bear, and a lady bought six bears at $5, so we made $30. But not just $30, we made a lot. But I thought it was interesting because she was able to bring her kids and they were able to experience the same thing, and she got to bring her kids to their college campus. And now they know that their mom's getting an education, so it's pretty good. But yeah, that's all I got to report. Sorry it was so short.
You're just fine. I think one of the things to mention, too, about the efforts of the leadership from the four colleges, the students have put that on and have done a tremendous job. The focus for, you know, the support of it has been kind of everyone kind of pitches in and puts in a dollar amount. The presidents for the Associated Colleges met last week and have determined that we're going to try to memorialize that into our Associated Colleges budget. So it's a conference that's supported, because right now we support teaching and learning conference, but we don't support a student conference. And so we really felt like we needed to start supporting students instead of just having a very one-sided approach to what we do in Associated Colleges. So, but it's thanks to your conference. It's thanks to your hard work for that. So.
Oh, no problem.
And then Brian. Thank you, Brian.
I have a quick update.
You thought you were going to be overlooked because we jumped you on the schedule, but no, we need your voice.
I recently attended the University Faculty Senate meeting at SUNY Oneonta, and just to highlight a couple of things that President Schiffner had said regarding the five major initiatives that the Chancellor had rolled out for this year. And Open SUNY appears to have potentially have the greatest impact on us as a college, particularly due to the fact that the Chancellor used University of Phoenix as an example. She said she wants to increase accessibility for students online. So she's really pushing to system-wide to have a more online coordinated effort for classes. And so it looks like what they want to do is, instead of just having a student qualify for their home institution to take a program at their home institution, qualify them SUNY-wide for financial aid, so that the student may take classes at a variety of different colleges and transfer those classes back to their degree plan. So we may see some competition for courses that we hadn't had in the past. So that is likely going to be the greatest impact that we're going to foresee.
You know what's interesting about that? I wonder how it's going to affect somebody in the residence hall if they're taking one class here and six classes at other campuses, but they're in our residence halls. I mean, those are some of the details that I find fascinating.
Financial aid alone is a big hurdle.
That is a big hurdle. But
and also the elephant in the room is SUNY a degree-granting institution itself? So
that will likely impact us. They were talking about the degree-granting institution obviously would retain the student for at least 50% of the degree plan is what they're anticipating, but the student could potentially take 50% of their courses at other colleges throughout the SUNY system. So that change could impact us. Aside from that, President Schiffner pretty much laid out the
I stole
the
your
plan
thunder.
Pretty
sorry,
well.
Dr.
I stole
Hart.
My thunder a little bit. I have my old report printed out here, but that's okay. But for the sake of brevity, I know everyone has things to do. That's all I had to report today.
The Chancellor specifically said 100,000, right?
She wants, by the end of 2014, 100,000 new enrollments in online.
They did clarify that at the meeting and said that right now we're in the low 80s, and it didn't mean 100,000 new.
I believe it's 85.
Students. It was expanding upon the 80s that we already had, because that was clarified at the meeting.
I'm glad she clarified that, because it wasn't clear at the state of the university address.
Yeah.
So, upcoming events, just to wrap up, we have been asked by SUNY to provide campus forums updates on share services. There'll be one this week and one next week, one in each of the university campuses, just to provide basically an update what we've been doing all along here on SUNY Canton's campus. Living Writers Series, as Provost Felicy mentioned, our Living Writers Series will host Dr. William Rodine next Wednesday. We'd love to have you if you're able to make it. Middle States is coming up. We are J.D. DeLong, who has been our Middle States Caliprod, has allowed us to finally get to February 8th, where we are just submitting that, and I think he will sleep at least for 3 days in a row. That will be finally submitted, and then we will have our visit towards the end of March. And I believe that coincides with our next college council meeting that we have scheduled. But that doesn't mean that we can't do our study session somewhere else in between that. So that's all we have. Thank you.
Any questions for the President's report or any? Thank you, Carl.
Thank you.
Thank everyone that participated in that report. Appreciate it. You received a copy of the latest College Council roster. I am aware that there are two appointments that are in the work. The background checks have been completed, and the information has been returned to the governor's office. So hopefully we will have two new
college council members, hopefully maybe by the next council meeting, if we're really lucky. But all the background stuff has been done. One is to replace a vacancy we've had since Tony LaBarge resigned about, 6 years ago?
Three years ago.
And the other, I'm not sure just who it is. It's not replacing anyone that's sitting at the table here today. I am aware of that. So that's going to help with the quorum. And both the individuals that will be appointed are not individuals that take extended periods of time in the south of France or Florida. That's going to help us tremendously. The other thing I want to mention to you, SUNY Day is coming up in Albany. Once again, at the State Association meeting in October at Lake Placid, we tried to impress upon the folks at SUNY Central to have SUNY Day on a Monday in Albany is just completely ridiculous. So once again, it's scheduled on a Monday, and I don't have the date with me.
C11.
People familiar with Albany, that's a travel day for the Assembly and the Senate members, so you get to talk to staff members. In other words, it's a completely useless trip to Albany, as far as I'm concerned. If you schedule it for Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, when the elected officials are in their office, that's a different story. You can lobby them, talk to them, express our concerns, but I think it's once again a demonstration on behalf of SUNY Central that they do not want the college council to be an active participant in college affairs. Anything else I'm missing? Again, I apologize for the agenda today, how it went because of these individuals wanting to see the governor, and it's important for us to be represented, obviously, on our campus at that meeting today at Clarkson. Again, it's a little bit... Is there any old business to come forward? Any new business?
So, the meeting that we will plan, I guess we'll just wait for an invitation or...
if it's possible for us to get together before the 27th, I think that would be preferable, because that's a month and a half away. I think it would be nice in another 3 to 4 weeks if we can get together, once we get all of the material assembled, if that works for everyone's schedule. I'm also happy to travel, so if there's a more central location for all of us, let me know if Watertown would be better or somewhere else.
Georgetown, Grand Cayman.
I'd like to go to that meeting.
So we'll write to hear from Michaela.
So we'll give them
some dates.
And I'll speak to everyone about that, if that's all right. Okay.
Sure. Thank you.
How does the SUNY feel about the budget, state budget?
Well, they're pleased that they haven't been seriously cut, but there's concern about the capital budget, considering we're not getting one this year. Some people are saying it's a 4-year delay on capital budget, some are on the opinion that it's a 1-year delay. Right now, I don't have answers to which it truly is. Depends on who you talk to in the construction fund.
But they feel somewhat comfortable with the allocation otherwise?
Yeah.
There just simply hasn't been cut, no additional monies.
Right.
When you mentioned capital budget, is that impacting the colleges and universities, or is that
impacting all 64 campuses? There will be no capital plan at all for this coming year. So no capital money.
And do you know how that will affect school districts as well?
I don't know the answer to that. I'm sorry.
Anything else to come before our meeting today? Thank you all for coming. Appreciate it. Appreciate everyone's response to our questions. It's always a pleasure to meet with everyone here on our campus. If there's no other business coming before the meeting today, the chair will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Tom in second.
Second.
He said, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Carried. The meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yes.
Are you my David Winterfest executive meeting?
Yes, all right.
I know.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Sure, yeah.
I'll polish it up.